beautiful things about going in God's Word is that we get to see the counsel of God in varying ways. One of the most important things about going through God's Word is that we get a chance to see how God thinks. Someone want to say, why is that important? It's because the thing is, if you watch how God thinks, you will learn how you as an individual are supposed to think. And as I've heard some people say, and I've said it and said it, and it don't hurt to steal good things out of God's Word from other people or take it because usually they didn't invent it. Learn to think God's thoughts after Him. Why is that? Because His thoughts are not like our thoughts. Neither is His ways like our ways. As high as the heaven is above the earth, God says, so are my thoughts above your thoughts, and my ways above your ways. Do you understand how humiliating that is? And I don't mean it in a bad way. I mean, I'm saying God is letting you know, don't even think about trying to change something that I've said. Your thoughts are too low. Your ways are too far away from me for you to have a thought to alter my blessed word. Yet, when we walk in rebellion and think we're going to be okay, there is no difference in pretty much making our thoughts equal to God's thoughts and our ways equal to God's ways. Now, we started in the book of Hosea on Thursday night, and that's where we're working from today. We're going to work from Hosea. We've been talking about honoring God before. We've talked about last week that an individual, until they are humiliated, they don't usually honor God. When I say humiliated, you can do it yourself. Like Isaiah, he saw the Lord high and lifted up, and he humbled himself. That's what humiliation is talking about. But then there comes some that God has to do it to you. There was a man by the name of Jonah. He had to be humiliated. He had to be humbled. You remember Jonah? Well, if I tell you the story of my life, I could tell you how the Lord humiliated me. And guess what? He still know how to do it. He hasn't forgotten how to do it. So let's go to our passage and let's start extracting some of the sweet juice out of His Word. Hosea chapter 1, verse 1. The ruin of a relationship. This is what we're going to talk about tonight. The ruin of a relationship. I'll start out with the question and ask, have you ever had a relationship that had high hopes? And you felt that this time, this is going to be the one. Or this one with this child. Or this time, this relationship back with my family member. This one is going to be just right. And I'm going to do everything in my power to make it like it's supposed to be. And things happen. And you change. And looking back, you realize, especially if you can ever see one that you ruined, you may be so good you never ruined one, that I took the person for granted. I wasn't as appreciative as I should have been. There are times I didn't keep my word. And had the person gone on just like that, it wouldn't really have been a good relationship for them. It would have been good for me because I could have used that person indefinitely. Flip it around. Have you ever been so good to somebody above what they deserve? They don't show appreciation. They don't thank you. It seems like they're like the horse leech. The Bible talks about in Proverbs the horse leech. The leech that gets on the horse and sucks the blood out. And it keeps saying, more, 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 more. And no matter how much blood comes out of the horse, more, more, more. or they get to be like the ears. I just can't get enough of hearing. Let me hear something else. I can't stand the quiet. Hear, hear. The ruin of a relationship is when individuals in the relationships don't understand their boundaries, and they don't understand in that relationship what their place is. And even when they do understand, when they don't care to fulfill their role. The book of Hosea is going to show us this starting right now. The word of the Lord, one in one, the word of Yahweh is capitalized here. The word of the Lord, it came to Hosea, the person in the position of being their savior, if they'd listen. The son of Beeri. The word Beeri is kind of a nice little word. Sometimes you might see it in words that, like Beersheba, words that deal with whales and deal with water. And we don't really know that much about Beeri. But I would like to give you an idea. Sometimes when the Bible talk about somebody being the son of someone in the scriptures, the Jews used to feel like if a prophet, if they gave the name of the prophet and say he was the son of so-and-so, often they would feel that their father was a prophet. Doesn't necessarily mean that it was true. Sometimes you see like the son of a king and his son would grow up and be the same kind of way. And that's what's supposed to be. If you're a son of God, you should, in actuality, mimic God. That's why when you look at television, or similarly, because if I say that's why, if you be technical, you disagree with me. But similarly, when you watch shows on television, when they're doing paternity, one of the first things that the men will say, that child doesn't look like me. He looks nothing like me. He don't look like nobody in my family. And many times they're right. I said many because sometimes children that little, they go through different looks and they can favor people they're not even kin to. But there was a question that was asked of Jesus in John chapter 14. It was not really a question. It depends on where the punctuation is. But the statement was like one that, this is incredible, Jesus, that you're talking about the Father. And so Philip say, Lord, if you just show us the Father, that'll be sufficient. Jesus says, have I been so long with you, Philip? And you still going to ask me to show you the Father? When you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Remember, God is spirit. Therefore, if a person has the Spirit of God on them without measure, when they start showing his perfections, when they start showing his attributes, when I say his attributes, when I say his perfection, when we talk about the love of God, it's a complete love. When we talk about God's justice, it's a complete justice. Add not to it or take away. The perfections of God is that everything that God has is him. When you say God is love, you don't say God has love. You say God is light. You don't say God has light. When you say God is jealous, you don't say God has jealousy. You can, but the perfection of God that I am, that I am. So Jesus said, when you have seen me, you've seen the Father. So I don't know if this Beeri was a man that was like a wellspring of water for his son. But let's just say for the sake of what we're looking at in this passage, we might just consider that he might be. Unlike in the case with Josiah, you got a wicked daddy. You don't like him. Many times people will be like their parents, especially when they're wicked. But often those that have a good parent, they change. So the word of the Lord that came to Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. For you, Gary, I found one man that said that This last one, kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, he said that he believed that Hosea, that he actually prophesied during the reign of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, up until the days of Joash, the king of Israel. I have not seen it. I doubt it, but I'll do some looking. I've done some looking to see if I could find it, because it would make a difference in how long he prophesied, and it would be kind of amazing to see that he only mentioned him one time. But as of right now, all that I have is that he did it during this King Jeroboam, who really had the namesake of the one that came before, and that was not accidental. You have two sons back there. Is there any way you would have named any one of your sons a Lucifer? And yet Lucifer is considered to be the name for the devil, but in actuality, you'd be hard-pressed to prove that. You take a Latin word and you say the day star, the morning star. If you read the book of the Revelation, Christ is called that. But here nor there, when you think and you tie something to a name, it's important, especially if you name somebody after somebody. So it says, the beginning of the word of the Lord. I really need to bring this out, so I'm going to read it in ESV, and I want you to catch this, because the question has always been, at least for me, was this situation one that was set up as a failure to start with, or did it turn to be a ruin of a relationship afterwards? Listen to what the Word of God says in the ESV, then I'll go back to the Authorized. When the Lord first spoke through Hosea, the Lord said to Hosea, go, take to you yourself a wife of whoredom, and have children of whoredom, for the land commits whoredom by forsaking the Lord. Now, if your ears are tender and you have a problem with the word whoredom, you can get up and leave. Probably for the next 15, maybe the 20 lessons. Because we're going to talk about whores. We're going to talk about whoredom. We're going to talk about children of whores. We are going to talk about whoredom and how whoredom ruins a relationship. I'm not going to make God's word soft. I'm the wrong one to do that. I want it, if God wants it to be filthy, I want it to be just as filthy as he sees it, so that we can see why the relationship is ruined. I'm not really even going to ask you, is this fair? It's just righteous for me to do it. Because I ask if it's fair, somebody might say no. And the thing is, I'm still not going to stop. So let's compare the two, because there are a lot of people that just read what is called the Authorized. Notice how verse 2 starts in the Authorized Version. The beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea, and the Lord said to Hosea, go take a wife of whoredom of the children of whoredom, for the land hath committed great whoredom departing from the Lord. The reason that I had this read in a different version is because I believe that this is showing when this took place. And it says, when the Lord first spoke through Hosea, the Lord said, I believe that he's looking backwards. He's looking backwards on his life and saying, when the Lord first spoke to me, when the Lord first did this, this is how it went. So it says in verse 3, so he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived, and notice what it says here, and bare him a son. I believe this is going to be important, because when we look at it, the other ones, it's not going to say she bear him a son or bear him a daughter. So let's look at it, and that way we can roll with it. It says, so he went and took Gomer, he obeyed, he got the daughter of Diblaim, which conceived, they came together, he married her and did like a husband should do, they consummated, he knew his wife. And she conceived and bare him a son. And the Lord said unto him, call his name Jezreel. One of the things that I've seen in this particular passage and in reading things, especially some of the guys that's in the 1600s, you begin to get a chance sometimes to see some thoughts that come from people that really took time to really think well. Well, you all are familiar that there is no J's in the Hebrew language, correct? So you realize that the name that Jesus, Jeremiah, Joshua, it wouldn't have had that sound. It would have had a Y sound like Yahshua. Look at the name of Jezreel and pronounce it with a J sound instead of, I mean a Y sound instead of a J. What does it sound like? And what is God's children? They are the children of who?
Israel.
Are you beginning to see something already? Yes. Are you beginning to see something that we would automatically miss just going by English? Mm-hmm. You see, when God said, call his name Yezreel, for yet a little while I will avenge the blood of Yezreel upon the house of Yehu. Now, when I say Yehu, I'm just sticking to that, using the same letter, and the reason the why and the reason for that is I got a point that I want to make. One is that Israel is supposed to be a prince with God. He is supposed to be one that rules with God. Yisrael. When you see the name Israel, really, it would be Yisrael or Yisrael. And here it is, Yezreel. Here is a place where God executed judgment upon wicked people, upon wicked kings. Naboth had had his land taken by Ahab, and God used that place to show what he was going to do. Now, this Yehu is almost like Yahoo, which is another term to use for God. And so when we look at these particular things, we're beginning to see a picture. Israel, you were supposed to be so much in this relationship with me. You were supposed to be able to rule with me. And yet God is saying, call his name, not Israel. Call his name Yezreel. And I'm going to avenge the blood of the house of Jehu, whom I have set up to be one that would execute my judgment upon the wicked king Jeroboam the first and his house. Let's move on down, and it says, I will cause to cease the house of Israel. Notice, Yahweh said, call your son Yezreel. I will avenge the blood of Yezreel upon the house of Yehu and will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Yisrael. I will submit to you that the same thing that I did to the house of Ahab in Yezreel, you are in position of doing that. Let me read some more. And it shall come to pass at that day I will break the bow of Yisrael in the valley of Yezreel. I will break the bow, the very thing that you would use to defend yourself, the very thing that you would be able to use in warcraft where you don't have to be close up. You can shoot your arrows and defend yourself. I will break your ability to do so. I'm going to do it in the valley of Yezreel. And she conceived again and bare a daughter. Do you notice that it didn't say, and she conceived again and bare him a daughter? I just want you to just kind of hear the flow of it. And God said unto him, call her name Lo Ruhamah. For I will have no more mercy on the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. But I will have mercy upon the house of Judah. And I will save them by the Lord, their God. And I will not save them by bow or sword, nor by battle, by horses, nor horsemen. Now when she weaned Loruhama, she conceived and bare a son. Then said God, call his name Lo Ami, for ye are not my people, and I will not be your God. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it is said unto them, you are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, you are the sons of the living God. Then shall the children of Judah and the children of Israel be gathered together and appoint themselves one head. And they shall come up out of the land, for great shall be the day of Jezreel. And say to your brethren, and your sisters, Rumah, plead with your mother, plead, for she is not my wife, neither am I her husband. Let her therefore put away her whoredoms out of her sight, and her adulteries from between her breasts, lest I strip her naked and set her as in the day when she was born, and make her as a wilderness, and set her like dry land, and slay her with thirst. We're talking about a ruin of a relationship. As we move through this book, we're going to see how tender this relationship once was. But now we are seeing how this relationship has turned itself, as you would say, on its head. It has turned away from God. How did it get to the place that God is speaking and say the land has committed whoredom? We must pull ourselves in the line, or else it would seem like these are just things just thrown out there, and we don't want it to just be thrown out there. We don't want it to be we just go through the book of Hosea and see God bringing a prostitute nation back to himself. We want to see why God used terms like whoredom. We want to see terms like why God is saying you're not my people. We want to see why God is dealing with the people and say just like the land of Jezreel. We want to see these things. At least I do. So let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 13. We want to start seeing what's going on at the time of Hosea. We want to see what's going on as we spoke before about a father. We want to see these things. And as we see these magnificent things, we can close chapter 1 and go to chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 13. Verse 9. Let's look at the word of God and see what was going on. The Bible says here, we're going backwards a little bit to one of the kings. Okay? We're going back till we get to this Jeroboam. It says, in Jehoahaz, there were two Jehoahaz. There was one in Israel and there was one also in Judah. Jehoahaz slept with his fathers, that being he died. And they buried him in Samaria. That's in the north. Joash, his son, reigned in his stead. In the 37th year of Joash, king of Judah, began Jehoash, the son of Jehoash, to reign in Israel, in Samaria. And he reigned 16 years. He is supposed to be reigning over a group of people that are supposed to be a prince and rule with God. He's over the people of Israel. Verse 11 says, and he did that which was evil in the sight of Yahweh. He departed not from all the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin, but walked therein. Do you understand that what God is saying right here with this man is so wicked. This man is so ungodly. Remember when I said he was named? I believe he was named after him. Remember when I said to Rocio, you would not name your child Lucifer. Didn't I say that? This man was named after Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. But not only was he named after the son of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, he acted like him. Who is this Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, according to the scripture that caused Israel to sin? God says much about this Jeroboam, but the ruin of the relationship, the ruin of the relationship that we see right here in Israel, I would say the relationship, when he mentions that he comes, he's in the time of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, and we see that he has the same name as Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. I want us to see the ruin of the relationship. I want us to see the whoredom. So when God talks whoredom, and I start saying that we have practiced whoredom, and America practiced whoredom, and churches practice whoredom, I want you to see that there's two whoredoms that go in the world. One of a promiscuous and an ungodly man or a woman, and there's one that takes God and takes a relationship and brings someone into that intimate relationship and puts them in the place of God, and that whoredom will be judged, and that whoredom will be dealt with, and that whoredom is a wretched stench in the nostrils of God Almighty, who is blessed forever. Amen. Listen to what the Word of God says in 1 Kings chapter 11, verse, I'm going to read 26. This is the first Jeroboam. The point that I'm wanting to make here is that, listen, if you walk with me, I want us to see why he is saying. Because we can say all day long, he's like Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and it's been a long time since we've been to the king. I want you to see the ruin of the relationship. It says that this Joash died. And he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. And this man departed not, I'm going to tell you where I am. I'm in 2 Kings 13 and 11. He did that which is evil in the sight of the Lord. He, the father, departed not from all the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin and walked therein, and the rest of the acts of Joash and all that he did, and his might wherewith he fought against Amaziah of Judah, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Israel? And Joash slept with his fathers, and Jeroboam sat upon his throne, and Joash was buried in Samaria with the kings of Israel. This man that was the father of this Jeroboam, he had modeled his life by the way that he acted like Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. Who is Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, that caused Israel to sin? We must needs know. So 11 and 26 in 1 Kings, we move out of 2 Kings back to 1st, and it says, "And Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, a Ephratite of Zeredah, Solomon's servant." What that means, Naomi, Ephraim was the biggest tribe in the north, where they had the 10 tribes. But before you get to see the full magnificence of the 10 tribes, they're all still together. Notice what it says, because they haven't split yet. Solomon is alive, and Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, an Ephratite of Zebedah, Solomon's servant, whose mother's name was Zeruah, a widow woman, even he lift up his hand against the king. And this was the cause that he lift up his hand against the king. Solomon built Millo and repaired the breaches of the city of David his father. And the man Jeroboam was a mighty man of valor. And Solomon, seeing the young man that he was industrious, he made him ruler over all the charge of the house of Joseph. What that means is Joseph had two houses, Manasseh and Ephraim. Solomon made him in charge of that. And it came to pass at that time Jeroboam went out of Jerusalem, and the prophet Ahijah the Shilonite found him in the way, and he had clad himself with a new garment, and they two were alone in the field. Jeroboam got some new clothes on, okay? and it probably looked good. And here comes Ahijah the prophet, a Shilonite, and he already got some new clothes on. And they two were alone in the field, and Ahijah caught the new garment that was on him and tore it in 12 pieces. Imagine you got brand new clothes on and somebody come and tear it up. And he said to Jeroboam, take thee 10 pieces, for thus saith Yahweh, the God of Israel, behold, I will rent or tear the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon, and will give 10 tribes to you. Jeroboam, Solomon put you over the house of Joseph. I'm giving you 10 tribes. I'm putting you in charge. I'm giving them to you. Solomon has displeased me. I am honoring you and putting you in a position of power. I am putting you in a position to lead my people. And listen to what he says. But he shall have one tribe for my servant David's sake and for Jerusalem's sake, the city which I have chosen out of all of the tribes of Israel, because they have forsaken me and have worshipped Asheroth, the goddess of the Zidonians, Chemosh, the god of the Moabites, Milcom, the god of Ammon, and they have not walked in my ways to do that which is right in my eyes, and to keep my statutes and my judgment as David his father. Howbeit, I will not take the whole kingdom out of his hand. I will make him a prince all the days of his life for David my servant's sake, whom I chose because he hath kept my commandments. But I will take the kingdom out of his son's hand. I will give it to you, even 10 tribes. And unto his son I will give one tribe, that David my servant will always have a light for me in Jerusalem, in the city which I have chosen to place my name there. And I will take thee, and thou shalt reign according to all thy soul desireth. And thou shalt be king over Israel. You can reign with me in Israel. Jeroboam, son of Nebat, you will be a Yisrael. You will be a prince with me. You will reign with me in Israel. Listen. And it shall be, if you will hearken to all that I command you, and will walk in my ways, and do that which is right in my sight, and keep my commandments, as my servant David did, I will be with thee. 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 That should have rang in his ears. I said it about 6 or 7 times. That should have rang in his ears just like the sound of a mighty trumpet. Why do you say such, Tim? He's over the house of who? Joseph. When Joseph pleased his father, Joseph ended up getting sold. Am I correct? Joseph was made a servant in Potiphar's house. And what does the Bible say about Joseph while he was a slave in Potiphar's house? The Lord was what? With him. Not only that, when the woman said he tried to molest her or rape her and he got put into prison, what did the Bible say when he was in prison? The Lord was what? With him. Throughout the life of Joseph, we see that the Lord was with him. No matter what happened, the Lord was with him and he was established. Am I correct? Now, if you're over the house of Joseph and God is talking to you, just like, look, you're over the house of Joseph, I'm going to treat you like I did Joseph. If you just do what I say. Oh, would to God that we could understand that the Lord has promised to be with us, but that's a whole nother message. But it says, and it shall be, if you will hearken to all I command you, and will walk in my ways, do what is right in my sight, and keep my commandments as David my servant did, I will be with thee and build thee a sure house as I built for David, and give Israel to thee. Can we hear the relationship? Can you see the relationship? the relationship that is being established for Israel, that is going to be depicted by Gomer, the one that he is going to go marry, the wife of whoredom, before that was whoredom. At the first, when he told him to go get married, I'm going to get you somebody and bear me children. I have taken Jeroboam. Jeroboam, I have put you over the house of Joseph. Jeroboam, son of Nebat, if you do what I say, we're going to have a relationship. Guess what? I will be with you. You don't have to build yourself, baby boy. I will build you. I will build you, and I will give you a sure house like I did David. Yeah, David's house is so sure that when I take 10, I'm leaving him one. Now, Benjamin goes and be with him, but I want you to see this, the relationship. I understand that there's a lot of ways to see the relationship, but here is where the taste come from. I will be with you. If we bring it down to the days of Hosea, we'll be married. In other words, if Rocio or somebody, if you decide to marry somebody and you all decide to get married and you going to walk in his ways and you're going to do right by him and he's going to do right with you and going to build a sure house. That's what when people get married, they build a house. We're not talking about sticks and stones. That's what we used to call a house. But really, the house is the family. You may live in a tent. That's your house. That's your household. I will build you a sure house as I built for David. And I will for this afflict the seed of David, but not forever. We're going to see that again in the book of Hosea. Now, God has told Jeroboam, I'd be with him. And look at God, give him a taste. And Solomon sought, therefore, to kill Jeroboam. And he arose and fled into Egypt. He should also begin to remember as him being over the house of Joseph. Joseph's brother wanted to kill him. Judah said, let's sell him. And guess where he went? To Egypt. Well, Jeroboam arose. He fled to Egypt under Shishak, king of Egypt, and was in Egypt until the death of Solomon. Are you with me? Now let's go to the chapter 12, verse 2. And it says, I'll start at 12 and 1. Rehoboam is Solomon's son. Solomon dies. And Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel would come to Shechem to make him king. Notice, Rehoboam didn't just automatically get to be king. They voted on it. Notice, and Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel would come to Shechem to make him king. And it came to pass when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who yet was in Egypt, heard of it, well, he fled from the presence of King Solomon that dwelt in Egypt. They sent and called him, and Jeroboam and all the congregation of Israel came and spake unto Rehoboam, saying, I rest fully assured, this is a representative of government, thy father made our yoke grievous. It now make it a less grievous. Let me just read, because I was going to just tell it to you, but I can read it just as fast. Thy father made our yoke grievous, therefore now make thou service of thy father and the heavy yoke which he put on us lighter, and we will serve thee. Notice, you've already been told that you would be king, but you don't know how God's going to work it out. So if this man would do you right, you say you'd serve him. And he said, depart ye for 3 days. And what had happened is after the 3 days, he come back with some stuff that's wrong. He wants to come in and join or tell the people, I'm going to make it worse than it ever was before. And so this thing did not work out. So let's go and let's look at what the Bible says happened. He goes and talked to the old men, and the old men told him, lighten the load on them. Solomon had taxed them heavier than he was supposed to, according to Deuteronomy 17. And so the young people, listen to what they told him, verse 9. And he said to them, what counsel you give me, who have spoken, make the yoke which my father says lighter? And the young men that were grown up with him said, thus shall you speak to the people and say, thy father made our yoke heavy, but make it lighter for us. Thus shall you say to them, my little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. Now you see how sexual that is? Solomon got 1,000 women, and you're going to say your little finger is bigger than and greater than your father's loins that can produce all these children and have all these wives? Well, listen to what else he says. Now, whereas my father laid you with a heavy yoke, I will add to it. In other words, my father gave you a heavy load and you don't like it. I'm going to add more to it. And whereas my father chastised you with whips, I'm going to use scorpions. In other words, I'm going to use something else with a scourge that may have different pieces of things in it. I'm going to beat you worse than my father did. You haven't even done wrong yet. But I'm going to let you know, this is what I come to do. I come to bring the pain. I come to add to your burden, and I come to beat you worse. So listen to verse 12. And Jeroboam and all the people came to Rehoboam the third day as the king is appointed, saying, come. And the king answered the people roughly and forsook the old men counsel that they gave him. And they spake to them after the counsel of the young men, my father made your yoke heavy, I will add to your yoke. My father chastised you with whips, I will chastise you with scorpions. Wherefore the king hearkened not to the people, for the cause was from the Lord that he would perform his saying, which the Lord spake by Ahijah the Shilonite to Jeroboam the son of Nebat. In other words, I'm performing my words. We are going to have this relationship. I'm going to be your God, you will be my king, and you will bring Israel to me. In other words, this is the relationship that has been carved out of a relationship. The book of Hosea is going to show us the ending of that relationship. The Bible is not inconsistent. The Bible is quite consistent. I'm going to show you something else in here that I wasn't going to show you, but we're going to need it as we go through these 14 chapters of Hosea. So when all Israel saw the king hearken not to them, the people answered the king, saying, what portion have we in David? Neither have we any inheritance in the son of Jesse. To your tents, O Israel. Okay? I want you to know what that is. When you see that where it says to your tents, where it says tents here, this is where we get a hole. Oh, hell. You know, when we get to Ezekiel, when we talk about a hola and a holaba, this is where that comes from. To your tents, a hola. Oh, Israel. That's what he said. Now see to your own house, David. And Israel departed to their tents. But as for the children of Israel that dwelt in the city of Judah, Rehoboam, he reigned over them. The relationship is now started. But I want you to see what happens. Go with me, if you will, to 1 Kings chapter 12 and go to the 25th verse. Rehoboam wants to go fight with these people and bring them back. God had given them the right to secede because I'm going to make a relationship with Jeroboam and the house of Israel. I've separated them as two nations. Are you with me, Elijah? Because he's separating 10 and leaving the other one. So look at what it says here in verse 24. I'll go 23. Speak to Rehoboam, son of Solomon, king of Judah, and to all the house of Judah and Benjamin, and to the remnant of the people, saying, thus saith Yahweh, you will not go up and fight against your brethren, the children of Israel. Return every man to his house, for this thing is from me. What did he tell him? I will give you these 10, and I will be with you. You haven't built yourself up to be a strong army yet, but they come in to fight, and I'm telling them now, by a prophet, don't do it. Don't do it. I did this. You better not try to I'm with them. Do you see how sweet the relationship is? They're not protecting you. You're mine. And everything is starting out on a good foot. Read some more of this 24th verse. You should not go up and fight against your brethren, the children of Israel. Every man returned to his own house, so this thing is from the Lord. They hearkened therefore to the word of the Lord and returned to depart according to the word of the Lord. Then Jeroboam built Shechem in Mount Ephraim and dwelt therein and went out from this to Penuel. Let's watch and see what happens here. I want us to, I'm going to take this and I'm going back to 2 Kings 13 and 12. I want you to listen to what happened where we were again. I don't need to go to 12, I need to go to 11. Just listen to where we are, because now we're at the juice. You got the background. It says, and he did evil. I need to read it 10, I'm sorry. And in the 37th year of Joash, king of Judah, Jehoash, son of Jehoash, to reign in Israel, because they both had the same name. Sometimes you'll see Joash and Jehoash. And then you'll see Jehoash and Jehoash. That's the same name. When you see the A-S-H, that's the same thing. With both of them have an O-A-S. When it's J-O-A-S-H, that's the same name as J-E-H-O-A-S-H. It's the same name. And they both had one in Israel and they had one in Judah. Because when Ahab's son married Ahab's daughter married Jehoshaphat's daughter, they started naming their children after each other. So this is why it would get confusing when you would go through the kings. So now when he says in the 37th year of Joash, king of Judah, began Jehoash, the son of Jehoash, to reign in Israel, is because they're kin to each other. And it says, the son of Jehoash to reign over Israel and Samaria, he reigned 16 years, and he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord. He departed not from all the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin. In the book of Hosea, we got a thing going on with whoredom. The ruin of the relationship. Did you see the relationship start out with promise? You go in and God promises you a relationship with him as king. You're going to be over my people. I'm going to be with you. I let you flee from Solomon and he doesn't even get to send anybody there to get you. You get to come back and it looks like, okay, it's time for God to fulfill his word. But it looks like he's not going to fulfill his word because the man said, I'm going to make it worse. I'm going to give you more burdens and I'm going to beat you worse. Then you decide, I'm going to leave. So you get ready to leave and they come to attack you. And the man of God come and tell Rehoboam, you better not leave him alone. So God establishes you, as he said, as a nation. This is the beginning of the relationship. God has protected you. God has been with you in Egypt. God has been with you. Now you are in charge of his nation. You are the people of God. You are married to God in this relationship, all of you. But listen to what the Bible says here. Here's where we get the ruin of the relationship in 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 25. Then Jeroboam built Shechem in Mount Ephraim, and he dwelt. Then he built Penuel. We see no problem magnificently there. Look at 26. And Jeroboam said in his heart, now shall all the kingdom return to the house of David. And if this people go to do sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of all this people turn again unto their Lord, even to Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they shall kill me and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah. That is... This is 1 Kings, chapter 12, verse 26. God has done all this for Jeroboam, and Jeroboam has decided within his heart that God is not going to keep his word. So you begin to see how to ruin a relationship. You start not trusting God. God had already proved himself to him, but yet this man is, no, God's not going to do what he says. So when you start looking and you see that these are the things that they did, and we start talking about whoredom, we got whoredom coming up again. And then you listen to the first verse again in Hosea. The word of the Lord that came to Hosea, son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, and Ahaz, Hezekiah, king of Judah, in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. I'm showing you that this Joash is mentioned right here. He went back and did everything that he could, just like Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. And his son, he named Jeroboam. And this is the beginning of the word of the Lord. And he tells Hosea to go take a wife of whoredom, the children of whoredom, for the land have committed great whoredom from departing from the Lord. And I'm going to show you that this is coming from whom they had set up. And so this is going to be a mirror of what the life of Hosea with his wife is going to be a mirror of what happened to him in the relationship that he started with Israel. See, we could start Israel back from the time of Abraham, but really, to be in proper context here, this is going to go back to this particular time, and we'll be able to stretch it further, but right now, this is where we are. So I'm going to read 26 again. Jeroboam said within his heart, "Now the kingdom will return to the house of David. You didn't believe what God said, and you think it's going to go back to the house of David. And if this people go to sacrifice in the house of Yahweh at Jerusalem, then the heart of this people will turn again to their Lord, even Rehoboam." So we're saying they're going to come back and be under Rehoboam, but that's not what God said. But remember, God said, if you keep my commandments, if you walk in my ways, and you do what I say, I will establish your house forever. Whoredom begins when you stop listening to what God says. Whoredom begins when you start fearing and you're not trusting God. Whoredom begins when you start trying to do for yourself that which God said he would do. And so now whoredom is coming because of the fact this man don't want to hear what God said. Straight up whoredom. And God had told him what he would do. God had told him if he would listen. God had told him if he would obey. But this man, no, I'm scared. I'm scared. I'm thinking something's going to happen to me. Let's go back to where we were. Because this thing is so righteous to see how God deals with this man. Because this man didn't have to do these things. Verse 27. And it says, "Now shall all the kingdom return to the house of David. If this people go up to do sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then the heart of this people will turn again to their Lord, even Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they will kill me and go again to Rehoboam." Whereupon the king took counsel. Whoredom begins when you take counsel outside of God's word. Cursed is the man that will walk in the counsel of the ungodly, that will stand in the way of sinners, that will sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is not in the law of the Lord. And in God's law, he will not meditate in it. And he will be like a bush that is blown away, that's dried up, that's by the desert, and his leaf also withered. And everything he does will not prosper. He is not like the godly. The godly whose leaf is green, that brings forth his fruit in his season. And this man will not stand in the judgment. Listen to what it says. The king took counsel and made two calves of gold and said, "It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." The ruin of a relationship comes when you start to take someone that's in a covenant relationship with you and you dismiss that person and replace them with someone else. And especially when it comes to God. I will submit to you that if you can understand what's going on right here and see what's going on right here, the book of Hosea is going to be a whole lot easier for you to understand. Because in the book of Hosea, we're going to see them play whoredom. We're going to see them run to somebody else to get what they want. And I will submit to you that when the Bible says he did not depart from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, he knows exactly what he's talking about. Exactly what he's talking about. Why is that? Because the word of God is good. Now let's look and see where the lie is here. I believe it's the 32nd chapter of the book of Exodus. I'm not going to turn to it. But do you see this where he says the golden calves? Said, "Whereupon the king took counsel and made two calves of gold and said, 'It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt.'" Do you all remember what happened when Moses went up into the mountain to hear from God? Do you remember what Aaron did? Do you remember what Aaron made? Well, if you don't, I will read it. Exodus 32 and 1. And the people saw Moses delayed to come down from the mount. The people gathered themselves to Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods, which shall go for us. For is this Moses the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt? We wot not what has become of him. And Aaron said, break off the gold earrings that's in your ears, your sons and your daughters, and bring them. And he break off the golden earrings that were in their ears and brought them to Aaron. And he received them in the hand and fashioned it with a graving tool. And he made of it a molten calf. And they said, these be thy gods, O Israel, which brought you up out of the land of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it and built an altar, and Aaron made a proclamation and said, tomorrow is a feast to the Lord with this daggum golden calf like the stuff you learned in Egypt. The Bible says, and they rose up early in the morning and they offered burnt offerings and they besought peace offerings, and the people sat down to eat and drink. They drank wine. They drank strong drink. And they rose up to play. The Lord said to Moses, go down. Get you down. For that people which you have brought up out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made a molten calf. They worshipped it. They have sacrificed to it. And said, these be thy gods, O Israel, that have brought you up out of the land of Egypt. I want you to hear this. God had told Jeroboam, if you will hearken to me, if you will do what I said, I'll be with you. God had let Jeroboam go and build up some places, and Jeroboam is doing the exact same thing. And what was God's assessment when Aaron did it? The people have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside out of the way with a molten calf, and you have done the exact same thing, but you didn't remember or you didn't hold to the fact that Moses came down and destroyed that calf and ground it into powder and made you drink it, just like in Deuteronomy, I believe it is, chapter 5, when a man suspects his wife of whoredom, they would go and they would get that dust out of the tabernacle. They would mix it with water, and she would have to drink it. If she had done anything wrong, if she had committed sex, her thigh would rot and her belly would swell. But if she didn't do wrong, she would have children. So Moses ground up that calf in the same way and made the people drink it, and God killed a lot of them. Well, do you see any difference? Rehoboam think the people are going to come back down and go to Aaron, and he's going to lose his ability to rule. Aaron must have felt that he was going to lose his ability to rule. They told me to make this calf, and I'm going to do it. So he said, it's too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Let's see if he's telling the truth. The first thing that you can understand, if you've got a relationship with God, you better know what God says about the relationship, because folk will lie. Deuteronomy chapter 14 tells us about the way God wants worship to be done. I want Gary to read this one, because I know it's one thing for me to read it, but in Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 22, I want Gary to just read what God said, because Jeroboam said the way is too long. It's too much for you to go to Jerusalem. That's hard on you. What does it say, Gary? Read it, please. Chapter 32, if you just start at 32, and just read all of that, because you will get to see not only the similarities, but you will get to see how they practiced whoredom even back then. And now, Jeroboam, you have the opportunity to stand in the place of God, but you mess up. You mess up so big, so bad. What does it say, Gary?
Thou shalt truly tithe all the increase of thy seed that the field bringeth forth year by year. And thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose to place his name there. And the tithe of corn, of thy wine, and of thine oil, and the firstlings of thine herds, and of thy flocks, that thou mayest learn to fear the Lord thy God always. And if the way be too long for thee, so that thou art not able to carry it, or if a place be too far from thee, which the Lord thy God shall choose to set his name there, when the Lord thy God hath blessed thee, then shalt thou turn it into money, and bind up the money in thine hand, and shalt go into the place which the Lord thy God shall choose.
You see, it was not too far. It was not too far to go. Because if it was going to be too far, he said you can take and you can change it and exchange it for money. The trip won't be so hard. And when you get there, you can buy and do what you have to do there. Do you see it? So he has already changed and went against God's word already. Not only has he went against God's word already, he's doing the exact same thing that he was told it happened to Judah. Listen. I'm going back to where we were, so you don't have to write this one down. In 1 Kings, where we were, Ahijah caught the new garment that was on Jeroboam, rent it into 10 pieces, told Jeroboam, you take 10 pieces, I'm going to tear out the kingdom, I'm going to tear the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon, 10 tribes, and give it to you. I'm leaving one for them. Why? Because they forsook me. They worship Asherah. They worship the other gods. And then he says, I will not take the whole kingdom for David my servant's sake. That's what he says. Then he said, I will take the kingdom out of his son's hand, not Solomon. But then listen to what he says. I will take you, and you will reign according to him. In verse 27. Verse 38 is a key verse for us to always remember about Jeroboam. 11 and 38. It shall be if you will hearken unto what I command you, if you will walk in my ways, if you do that which is right, if you keep my statutes, if you keep my commandments, which would mean you want to go down there too. As David my servant was, I will be with you, and I will build you a sure house. Well, this Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, did not trust God to build him a sure house. And he started saying within himself that if I do this, all of those people, they're going to go back. I know they're going to go back. They're going to go back, and they're going to be up under Rehoboam. So I don't want them to be under Rehoboam. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to set up my own worship. I'm going to set up my own worship for these people to do. And that is where we're going to see where they messed up everything forever for these people. Jeroboam, the son of Nebat. And so when we start talking about Joash and all that he did, it's going to be the exact same thing. Are you following me? Have I lost anybody? Because I see a query look on your face. What's that look, Rosalia?
Okay, well, the Deuteronomy 14, 22 to 25. So what you're trying to show us here is, Jeroboam want to establish his own worship and temple in his section so that people don't have to... Okay, but you giving us these scriptures just to let them know, or since it was far away for them, they could just sell and bring the money and then buy in town. So I'm trying to see what is the relationship you're trying to do.
What's going on is Jeroboam has lied. Jeroboam has said the way was too far for them. But God had already made provisions that if anything happened. So... If the way seemed like it was too far, you don't stay. You take whatever you have and turn it into money. But you come to where I'm telling you to come. And when you come, if it's too much to carry the animals, turn it into money. And when you get there, you can buy. If you want to drink a strong drink of wine, you buy that. So when Jeroboam, going against what God said, now remember, he's supposed to keep God's ways. He's supposed to keep God's commandments, etc. So now you're using a pretense. Listen to verse 28 again. I'm in 1 Kings chapter 12, 28. It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. But Moses has already said, if it seems like it's too much, this is what you do. Mm-hmm. Then he makes these gods, the very same thing that God had turned them against. And the relationship is ruined right in the beginning. Verse 29, and he set one of the golden calves in Bethel, and the other one he set in Dan, and this thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before the one, even in Dan, and then he made high places, and made priests of the lowest people, which were not the sons of Levi. The relationship that God had given them, it was based upon one thing. It was based upon me keeping the relationship going. It wasn't based upon you keeping the relationship going. You don't have enough power. That's the problem that Solomon had. It's the very problem that Solomon had. God had given him peace, and he went and made leagues with other people as if he could make sure the peace stayed there. Keep in your mind, don't ever let it leave your mind, that the real problem is, again, 1 Kings 11:38. If shall be, if you will hearken to all I command you. Walk in my ways. What are my ways? Ways that you've been taught by Moses before now. You already know me. You already know my language. Keep my statutes and my commandments as David did. David didn't do no idol worship like that. He said, I'll build you a sure house. But the reason that is given that you are doing this, you don't believe I'm going to give you a sure house. Oh. Go back to 1 Kings 12:26. Mm-hmm. Listen to the sure house. God has promised to build a sure house. The Bible says, Jeroboam said in his heart, now will the kingdom return to the house of David. If this people go to do sacrifice in the house of Yahweh in Jerusalem, then the heart of the people will turn again to their Lord, even Rehoboam. And they'll kill me. And they'll return to Rehoboam. Then on top of him having a mind that's wrong, not listening to God, not believing God going to give him a sure house, not going with the commandments of God, not believing God going to give him a sure house, he goes and get counsel from somewhere else. Obviously, you're not getting it from God, and that is the ruin of a relationship. You don't let somebody come in your home and tell you to go against your husband, especially when your husband is right. You don't let somebody come and tell your little natty sorry tale as a child how to disobey your parents. I don't care if it is your teacher's school. Your teacher is wrong and wrong and wrong. And this is what he did. Then you replace God's standard and laws with somebody else's because you got another God up there. Are you with me? And so it says, if you go to verse 30, we've been just really dealing most with 1 Kings 11 and 12. So we're in 12 again, 30. And the thing became a sin, for the people went to worship before one, even to Dan. You made Israel, by your weakening of God's standard, to turn their back on God. Then if that were not enough with the golden calves, that wasn't enough. And he made high places and made priests of the lower people, which were not the son of Levi. God had already in his commandments that you're supposed to follow, your priests only supposed to be of the house of Levi. So you've gotten rid of them going to Jerusalem. Now you've gotten rid of the priest being the priest of God. You've made your own priest. So guess what? Priests serve the one that makes them priest. Now you got your own priest. You got your own gods. And he's not the rule. And Jeroboam ordained a feast on the 8th day of the month, on the 15th day of the month, like to the feasts in Judah, and offered upon the altar, so did he in Bethel, sacrifices to the gods he made, in other words, the gods that you will worship are reflecting my will, my order. And the sacrifices that you're making, to a great extent, you are making sacrifices to me. At least you are making sacrifices to my figment of my imagination. And you know what? He used it as the word hog, like the one when they would go You know, they would go three times a year. Mm-hmm. He did that himself. Verse 33, so he offered upon the altar which he made in Bethel the 15th day, the 8th of the month, which he devised of his own heart and devised a feast to the children of Israel and offered upon the altar. I'm going to give you this last little part because this is where we were last time in Zephaniah. And behold, a man of God, behold, came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. And he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born of the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee he shall offer the priests at the high places and burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. And he gave a sign that day, and this is the sign which the Lord has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes shall be poured out. And it came to pass when Jeroboam heard the saying of the man which he cried out against the altar, he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, lay hold of him! Which he put forth, and his hand which he put forth against him dried up, and he could not pull it back to him again. And the altar was rent, and ashes poured out on the ground, according to the sign which the man of God given by the word of the Lord. And the king said to the man of God, entreat now the face of the Lord God, and pray for me that my hand be restored. This is the heart of the book of Hosea, insofar as its time frame, insofar as the references that are in it. The message of Hosea is going to be absolute, universal. It's going to be invariant. It's not going to change. But you'll be able to really grasp what's going in Hosea. You've got enough of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, here. I may take a little time and deal with Jezreel on Thursday. Because I've heard people, I've listened to a lot of people teach this book. I've listened to a lot of them. And it's almost always assumed that people understand the backdrop. It almost seems like people always are familiar with it. Well, a lot of times people are familiar, but they've forgotten. Haven't there been some little details that you have forgotten that we have gone over? And, you know, sometimes it seems like the people that I listen to, they're in this magnificent rush. Well, if you go to somewhere else in the Bible, I hate to say it, but unless it's one that's a proverb or something, it's going to be what somebody's still doing wrong. And God's going to have to deal with them. And we're going to get to see God's thoughts. But I believe if I bring it out this way, and we start talking about the whore and the whoredom, they started out, their leader was a whore. He started out right. God had given him the ability and promise, and the people, instead of rejecting him, followed him. What do you mean, Tim? The people had already seen we could reject the king, else you wouldn't have been a nation. You rejected Rehoboam, and God was with you. Am I right? Mm-hmm. You rejected Rehoboam, and God was with you and told Rehoboam, you better not fight against them. Mm-hmm. How be it? You forget so fast. And you reject Rehoboam for him putting his load on you and him taxing you more and saying he's going to beat you more. But this man is going to thrust you out of the way of God and you go along with it. And you think God's not going to care? The ruin of the relationship when you don't care to fulfill your role. The ruin of the relationship when you allow someone else to come in and change the commitment that is made. When you allow yourself to go and find and add to the relationship without permission from the other. And it's just like a marriage. That's what's going to be given here. So as I go back to chapter 1 and finish for the day, let's look at what it says. The word of the Lord that came to Hosea, the son of Beeri. I'm hoping that this man was a good man, like a well of water to his son. In the days of Uzziah, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, king of Judah, in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. I've given you a lot about this Jeroboam the first. This man Joash, I picked Joash because Joash did according to all that Jeroboam had done the first. Mm-hmm. So you get a real feel of why God is upset. If the Bible says he has not departed from any of the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, you got a real good feel of what's going on. Then it says, the beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea, and the Lord said, go take you a wife of whoredom. Take you a wife out of these people that have lived and followed this wretched king, this house of Jeroboam, the first. Children of whoredom, for the land have committed whoredom in departing from the Lord. They did that right from the very beginning. When he did not want you to go back to be with the Lord, he gave you a different feast day, a different time. He gave you a different priesthood. He gave you a different God, gave you a different altar. Everything he gave you was wrong, and you stuck with him. And no doubt people stick with America when America says going to kill the babies in the womb. They stick with a president. They stick with a congress and say, it's okay for man to marry man and woman to marry woman. It's okay for you to blaspheme God. And it's okay in certain churches for your pastor to tell everybody to speak in tongues. But you don't reject that. But I guarantee you, if he said, I'm going to come to your house, everybody's house, and I'm going to go in and I'm going to look at your checkbook and take what out that I need, you'll reject that. So he did what God said and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bare him a son. As they called his name Jezreel. I want to develop Jezreel, and then I'm going to develop Jehu, and then I'm going to be able to teach this. But I'm going to give you the 1 minute version of what you're going to look for. In Jezreel, I'm going to show you it's so many judgments that take place in Jezreel. And the judgments are going to take place by a man by the name of Jehu. And Jehu is going to execute God's judgments because his judgments are so precise, because the people that followed Jeroboam just got so bad that the king decided, I want this man land, I'm just going to take it. So God sends another prophet, Elijah, and he has some people anointed to avenge God's covenant on these people. So we're going to deal with Jezreel, and then we're going to deal with Jehu, and you'll be able to see as we move through what it is about Jeroboam, the next one, what it is about Jezreel that's important, and what it is why he's going to bring his judgment on the house of Jehu. Because Jehu is going to be established just like Jeroboam. Jeroboam was established to separate from Israel because of their wickedness and their ungodliness, and he went and was unfaithful to God and broke the relationship. It was done in the land of Jezreel where innocent blood was shed. And Jehu is going to be anointed to be king, to go and avenge God's blood on the wicked kings that have done so much. They cut off the house of what is called Ahab. But God promises him, your kingdom will be for the fourth generation at least if you do what I say. But the man, when he got in power, instead of following God, turned. Now, Hosea is going to go marry a woman of whoredom. You're going to establish her as being the wife of a prophet. You're going to set up house with her. You're going to give her all of the things that a wife's supposed to have according to Deuteronomy. You're going to honor her. You two are going to be one. You're not going to have another wife. So everything that belongs to her, she's supposed to raise up children to you. You're supposed to set up a household of love and a right relationship. But what you are going to do is you're going to break the relationship. You're going to break the covenant. You're going to go to another person to take care of you, another person to do for you, and then you're going to come back with some children. And then you're going to leave and have some more children. And you're going to be able to see that God has set up Israel, and God had made them a nation separate. I set up Jeroboam like a child. I set up Joash like a child. And they're just like their mama Israel and practice whoredom. And the real question is, When the ruin of the relationship take place, can it ever be restored? The book of Hosea is going to show you that with an act of God, it can. But the real question is how? Does it apply to everybody? Rest fully assured for some, yes. But in others, it'll be done on a level that's higher than earthly. There'll be another Israel that we'll be talking about. So we're going to we're just going to pause it right there till next time. We got a good feel for Jeroboam. We're going to have a good feel for Jeroboam the second, but we need to know who Jeroboam the first is. This man is named after him. This is where the wedding took place. He is to mimic what happened in Israel. We're going to stop there. There should be a lot of questions or things that are disturbing or whatever. It's fine. It's fine. It's just the fact that it's been a while since we've been in the Kings. It's been a while since we've been in the Chronicles. But Hosea is saying, look, and this is during the time when these people are still living. They haven't gone into captivity. So these things should be fresh on their mind. So when you start seeing all this whoredom and she being sold as a slave and stuff, understand that these people are living what he's acting. It's going to be so good. It's going to be like the time when Ezekiel dug a little hole through the wall and he started shaking and was eating his food and trembling. And that message was for them. Totally for them. So I just want to see the ruin of the relationship. She ruined it. It was not God's fault. The ruin of a relationship that we have with God, I will promise you, it will be us that ruin it. We will be Israel. We'll either be Israel or we'll be Yeshriel. We'll either be the one that reigns with him or we'll be the place of his destruction. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for letting us see that these relationships that you have pictured in the Bible, they're real. They are true. They are what you want us to see. And Father, just because we haven't seen you execute your judgment completely on someone doesn't mean that we should take their counsel. Help us to do the one thing that Jeroboam failed to do, the one thing that Solomon failed to do, the one thing that Israel failed to do, and that is to trust you, to believe you. Look to no other source but to keep your commandments and statutes so that we will be able to please you and that our house can be established forever. I pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.